All right, welcome back, everyone, for another deep dive. We're picking up where we left off in season six, going back to some, you know, some manufacturing and process development, all those good things we were talking about before.
Yeah, we dug pretty deep into those topics back then. I think it's good to come back, kind of synthesize everything, pull out the most important takeaways.
Exactly. It's like, you know, we explored all these different paths, and now it's time to like step back, see the whole forest for the trees,
yeah,
you know.
Right.
And really understand how all these pieces connect to ensure, you know, the quality of the drugs that people ultimately rely on.
Exactly. Because at the end of the day, that's what really matters, right?
Right.
Safe and effective medicines.
Absolutely. And for this, you know, for this deep dive, we're not just drawing on those season six conversations. We're also bringing in some real world examples from the literature, specifically from OPR&D, Organic Process Research and Development. That's kind of like the go-to journal for experts in this field.
Yeah. I mean, that's where you see the cutting edge of process chemistry and engineering. So it's a great resource to see how these concepts actually play out in practice.
Right, right. So let's kind of set the stage here. When we talk about an API, you know, the active pharmaceutical ingredient,
yeah,
the actual medicinal part of the drug, what exactly are we talking about when we say quality?
Well, when we're talking about API quality, there are three main things we look at. First is chemical purity. We want to make sure that the API is as pure as possible, meaning it contains a high percentage of the desired molecule and very little of anything else.
Makes sense. You want the good stuff, not a bunch of extra junk.
Exactly. And then the second thing is impurities. We need to understand what kinds of impurities might be present, where they come from, and how much of them is acceptable. Because even small amounts of impurities can potentially impact the safety and efficacy of the drug.
Right. Right. And I remember from our previous discussions that there's usually a minimum purity level, right?
Yeah. Yeah. You typically see a minimum purity specification around 98%.
98%. Okay. And what's the logic behind that?
Well, there are a couple of reasons. First, it ensures that when you take the medication, you're getting a therapeutically relevant dose of the active ingredient. And second, it helps to minimize the risk of any unwanted effects from those impurities we were just talking about.
Got it. So it's a balance of making sure there's enough of the good stuff and not too much of anything that could cause problems.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got purity and impurities. What's the third thing you mentioned?
Yeah. Oh, yes. The third aspect of API quality is its physical attributes, things like its color, melting point, and crystal structure. And you might be thinking, why does that matter? It's just a raw chemical, right?
Yeah, I was going to say, I wouldn't necessarily think about what a chemical looks or feels like.
But it turns out these physical characteristics can have a huge impact on the final drug product. For example, the crystal structure of an API can affect how easily it dissolves, which can then impact how quickly and effectively the drug is absorbed by the body.
Huh. So if the crystal structure is different, that could actually change how the API behaves when it's being turned into a pill, for instance.
Precisely. And that in turn can influence how the drug is released and absorbed in the body. So controlling these physical attributes is just as important as ensuring chemical purity.
That's fascinating. I never would have thought about it that way.
Yeah, it's one of those things that you don't really think about until you start digging into the details.
Right. And all of this, this careful consideration of quality, it all feeds into this bigger picture of process development, right?
Absolutely. Defining those quality attributes is really just the first step. Then you need to figure out how to actually make the API and how to make it consistently and on a large scale. And that's where process development comes in.
So you've got your target quality defined, and now you need to develop the actual recipe to achieve it. Especially when we're talking about, you know, producing enough medicine to supply everyone who needs it.
Exactly. Process development is all about scaling up the manufacturing process from those small batches you might make in a research lab to the large quantities needed for commercial production. And the goal is to do this in a way that ensures that high quality API we were just talking about is produced consistently and reliably.
Okay. And I think we touched on this in season six, but there are guidelines, frameworks that help steer this process, right? Something about ICHQ 11.
You got it. ICHQ 11, yeah, that's a key guideline from the International Council for Harmonization. It basically provides a framework for a science-based and risk-managed approach to developing and manufacturing APIs.
So it's about having a strategic, informed approach rather than just like winging it, right?
Exactly. And it helps to ensure consistency and quality across different manufacturers and regions.
Okay, that makes sense. And what about quality by design? I remember that being a big theme in our season six discussions as well. It seems like that's a very, you know, proactive way of thinking about quality.
Yeah. Quality by design, or QBD, is a philosophy where you're not just testing for quality at the end of the process, you're building it into the process from the very beginning.
So it's like instead of just reacting to problems, you're trying to anticipate them and prevent them in the first place.
Exactly. And it involves a deep understanding of the process and how different variables can impact the final product quality.
Got it. So it's about foresight and control.
Exactly.
Okay. So we've got these frameworks, ICHQ11, quality by design. And under all of this, there's this foundational requirement of GMP, right? Good manufacturing practice.
Yes, absolutely. GMP is essential. It encompasses all the regulations and standards that need to be followed during the manufacturing process to ensure the safety, quality, and purity of the drug product.
So GMP is kind of like the ground rules, the non-negotiables for making medicine.
Precisely. And it's not just something you check off a list, it's an ongoing commitment to maintaining those high standards.
Okay, so you've developed this really robust process, you've followed all the guidelines, and now you need to, let's say, scale up production significantly or transfer the process to a different manufacturing site. That's where tech transfer
Yeah,
comes in.
right.
Yeah.
Tech transfer or technology transfer is the process of moving a manufacturing process from one location to another. And this could be from a research lab to a pilot plant, or from a pilot plant to a full-scale manufacturing facility.
And that sounds like it could be a really delicate process.
It can be. It requires careful planning, detailed documentation, and a lot of communication between the different teams involved.
I bet. So, okay, we've kind of recapped, what defines API quality, that whole
Yeah.
journey of process development and scale up. And we've touched on these key frameworks and GMP, but I think now let's really dive into the heart of this discussion. How does all of this process optimization actually translate to the quality of the medicine that someone eventually takes? And this is where I think those real-world examples from OPRD will really come in handy.
Absolutely. Let's look at some specific cases that show this link between process optimization and drug quality. One example that comes to mind is a study on purifying a compound using silica plug chromatography.
Silica plug chromatography, okay.
Yeah. Now, what's really interesting is the level of detail they went into in describing the process. They specified the exact composition of the elution solution, the temperature at which the solvent was removed, and even the criteria they used to determine when the compound was sufficiently pure. And all of this meticulous attention to detail led to a very high purity API, like 99% pure.
Wow. So by tweaking those seemingly small parameters, they were able to significantly improve the quality of the final product.
Exactly. And they confirm the purity using techniques like NMR and GCMS, which give you a really precise picture of what's in the sample.
Okay, so that's a really great example of how fine-tuning a specific step can make a big difference. What about when we're talking about a multi-step synthesis, where you have multiple reactions happening in sequence to make a more complex molecule?
Yeah, multi-step synthesis can definitely be more challenging. But again, the key is optimization at each step. Researchers will experiment with different reagents, temperatures, reaction times, and workup procedures to find the optimal conditions for each step.
And what are they optimizing for? Is it just yield, like getting as much of the product as possible?
Well, yield is definitely important, but it's not the only thing. They're also trying to minimize the formation of any unwanted byproducts, which can be impurities in the final API.
Right. So it's about both maximizing the good stuff and minimizing the bad stuff.
Precisely.
Okay. And we've talked a lot about traditional batch reactions, but I know there's been a lot of interest in continuous flow chemistry and technologies like microflow reactors.
Yeah.
Can you talk a little bit about how those play into process optimization and drug quality?
Yeah. Continuous flow chemistry is a really exciting area because it offers a lot of advantages in terms of control and efficiency. For example, let's say you have a reaction that needs to be run at a very specific temperature to prevent side reactions or to ensure safety. With a continuous flow system, you can maintain that precise temperature much more easily than in a batch reactor.
You're constantly flowing the reactants through a controlled environment, right?
Exactly. And that level of control can lead to more consistent product formation and potentially fewer impurities in the final API.
So it's like you're creating a very precise, miniaturized factory for the reaction to happen
That's a great analogy.
in. Okay. And what about, I know safety is a huge consideration in pharmaceutical manufacturing.
Right.
How does that tie into process optimization and ultimately drug quality?
Safety is absolutely paramount,
Mm-hmm.
and it's actually very closely linked to quality. If a process isn't safe, it's much more likely to have deviations or accidents that could compromise the quality of the product. So researchers will often go to great lengths to design processes that are inherently safer.
Can you give an example?
Sure.
Yeah.
Let's say a process involves using a particularly hazardous reagent. They might look for alternative reagents that are less hazardous, or they might design the process in a way that minimizes the amount of that reagent that needs to be used, or they might use specialized equipment to handle it safely.
Okay, that makes sense. So it's not just about making the drug, it's about making it in a way that protects the people involved in the environment.
Exactly.
And what about when a new synthetic route is developed for a particular drug? How does process optimization play into that?
Well, when a new route is being developed, one of the key goals is to make it as efficient and scalable as possible. That means minimizing the number of steps, using readily available starting materials, and avoiding any steps that are particularly difficult or hazardous to perform on a large scale.
So it's like streamlining the whole process, right?
Right. And that streamlining often goes hand in hand with improvements in purity. If you can eliminate steps that are prone to generating impurities, then your final product is likely to be pure.
It sounds like it's all interconnected, the efficiency, the safety, the purity.
It absolutely is.
Okay. We've talked about silicate plug chromatography, multi-step synthesis, continuous flow chemistry. Mm-hmm. Are there any other examples from OPR&D that come to mind that really highlight this link between process optimization and drug quality?
Oh, absolutely. There are tons of examples. One that I think is really interesting is the use of packed bed reactors for continuous flow reactions.
Packed bed reactors, okay.
Yeah. So in a packed bed reactor, you have a tube that's filled with a catalytic material, and the reactants flow through the tube and react on the surface of the catalyst. And the key here is that by controlling the flow rate, temperature, and pressure, you can create a really consistent reaction environment, which leads to more uniform product quality.
It's like that miniaturized factory idea again, only this time it's a packed bed reactor.
Exactly.
And what about impurity control? We talked about that a little bit earlier, but are there any specific examples that stand out?
Yeah, I remember one study where they were looking at a reaction that produced a small amount of a very specific impurity. And by carefully studying the reaction mechanism, they were able to figure out exactly when and how that impurity was forming. And then they were able to adjust the reaction conditions to suppress its formation.
Wow. So it's not just about removing impurities after they're formed. It's about understanding how to prevent them from forming in the first place.
Precisely. That's the ideal scenario.
And I've heard about these things called telescope procedures. Can you explain what those are and how they relate to process optimization?
Yeah. A telescope procedure is where you combine multiple reaction steps into one continuous process without isolating the intermediate products.
So instead of having multiple separate steps with purifications in between, you do everything in one go.
Exactly. And this can be really beneficial for both efficiency and purity. You're reducing the number of handling steps, which can introduce impurities, and you're often able to improve the overall yield.
That's pretty clever.
Yeah, it's a really elegant approach.
And finally, what about the use of catalysts? We haven't really talked about those much, but I know they play a huge role in organic chemistry.
They do. And the development of new improved catalysts is a constant area of research. One of the main goals is to find catalysts that are highly selective, meaning they only catalyze the desired reaction and don't produce a lot of side products.
So a more selective catalyst would lead to a purer product.
Right. Exactly. And it can also make the process more efficient because you're not wasting starting materials on unwanted reactions.
Right. Right. It's like having a more precise tool for doing the chemistry.
That's a great way to put it.
Okay. So we've covered a lot of ground here. We've seen how process optimization, from the very specific details of individual reactions to the overall design of the manufacturing process, has a direct impact on the quality of the API.
And we've only just scratched the surface, really. The OPR&D literature is full of amazing examples of process innovation.
It's incredible to see the level of scientific rigor and ingenuity that goes into all of this.
It really is.
But we can't forget about the final piece of the puzzle, quality control and process validation. It's not enough to just develop a great process. You also need to prove that it works consistently.
Absolutely. Quality control involves rigorous testing of the API throughout the manufacturing process to make sure it meets those predefined specifications we talked about earlier. Things like purity, impurity levels, and physical attributes. And process validation is about demonstrating that your manufacturing process can reliably and consistently produce an API that meets those specifications.
And are there specific guidelines or regulations around process validation?
Oh, absolutely. ICH Q6A, for example, provides detailed guidance on process validation. And of course, GMP regulations require meticulous documentation of every step of the process to ensure traceability and accountability.
So it's not just about making a good batch of API, it's about proving that you can do it over and over again.
Exactly. Consistency is key.
And all of this ultimately ties back to ensuring that the medicine that reaches the patient is safe, effective, and of the highest quality.
Precisely. That's the ultimate goal.
So this deep dive has really been a journey behind the scenes of pharmaceutical manufacturing. We've seen how complex and meticulous the process is, and we've seen how every decision, from the choice of reagents to the design of the reactor, can impact the quality of the final product.
And it's a reminder that making medicines is a huge responsibility.
It is. And it's also a testament to the incredible work that scientists and engineers do to develop and manufacture these life-saving therapies.
Absolutely.
And with that in mind, I think it'd be interesting to leave our listeners with a question to ponder. You know, we've discussed how complex drug manufacturing is, and we know that new drug molecules are becoming increasingly sophisticated. So what do you think are the biggest challenges in consistently manufacturing high-quality medicines for everyone who needs them in this ever-evolving landscape?
That's a great question, and it's something that the pharmaceutical industry is constantly grappling with. I think it involves finding the right balance between scientific innovation, technological advancements, and robust regulatory oversight.
It's definitely a multifaceted challenge. Well, that's all the time we have for today. Thanks for joining us for this deep dive into pharmaceutical manufacturing.
It's been a pleasure.
And to our listeners, keep those questions coming, and we'll see you next time on The Deep Dive.